Best for Women. Listen to Mrs. Waite speak from her heart to your need. Pause a moment and care. Just for Women is an unusual broadcast for women in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Yvonne Waite deals biblically with the many issues facing women today. The Bible tells the older women to speak the things which become sound doctrine, and teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the Word of God be not blasphemed. Listen now to Mrs. Waite speaking just for women.
Hi, everybody. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's Proverbs 22:6. We have Alan Panik here with us again. He's had an interesting life. We learned about his early life with his birth parents, and then in an orphanage, and then with his adopted parents. And Barbara Panik, his mother, was a friend of mine, and she used to pray for Alan for years and years and years. And when we left you, Alan, say hi.
Hi, good to be back.
When we left you, you were in the Army, and I think that's where we left you. And you were, go ahead, tell us something about your Army days.
The Army was supposed to be my career. I was supposed to serve 20 years and then retire. And that would have been great. I would have been 39 years old with a pension. But that did not happen.
Why was that?
Well, at 16 years in the Army, I had a little incident, actually a major incident. I was in Seoul, Korea, in the Army, and I went out drinking that night, and I had this big, brand-new, beautiful car, a Dodge Dynasty. And after a night of drinking, I got in the car and drove away and promptly drove into the rear end of a Korean taxi cab.
Wow.
And needless to say, that made the Army mad, and it made Koreans mad, and pretty much ended my career.
Well, that was a wake-up call. You were married at the time, weren't you?
Oh, absolutely. Married, had my daughter already.
Oh, Anna.
Sure.
She's a dear girl. So anyhow, that ended your career, so what did you do?
Well, I came back home to Maple Shade, and for a short period
of time. That's in New Jersey.
Right. For a short period of time, I lived in my parents' house, and that didn't work well. My wife and mom never really got along. So we wound up moving to Cherry Hill, just next door to Maple Shade here in New Jersey, and moved into an apartment.
Well, what did you do for a living?
For a while, I worked three jobs. I drove a taxi, I drove for a courier company, and I worked at a 7-Eleven. That's a convenience store. And then the other two jobs kind of went away, and the taxi job became my full-time job.
Okay, then, so you didn't know the Lord as your Savior. This was like in 91 or 92?
91 into 92, right.
And so then, how did you have this big change in your life and become a Christian when you didn't really want to be one?
Well, I can answer that question, honestly, with one word, prayer.
Oh,
and
good.
You keep mentioning my mother who prayed for me for years and years, and she did.
Yes, she did.
But then you have to add my wife to that. She prayed for me for several years. And then we met a pastor in Marlton, New Jersey. We were going to that church. And that pastor prayed for me constantly as well. So you had my mother and my wife and the pastor of the church.
And I remember when your mother came to our Bible studies, we used to pray for you, too.
There you go.
Not
of course,
probably
I didn't know that. But.
Right, not as intensely as the other people, but we did pray for
right.
you. So then you got saved. Well, what happened to you then? Were you still drinking and smoking? And?
Well, I did do all that, and I got saved at a revival at the church in Marlton, the second day of it. And that's an interesting story, really quickly. First day I went to the revival, I didn't like it. And I complained about what was said and what was done. And on the way home that night, you know, my little car driving home with the wife, I'm basically yelling at her, complaining, saying I'm not going to go back to this thing. And she just sat there silently and let me vent. And when I was done, she just turned and looked at me and said, "I know who controls your spirit."
Huh.
And that hit me like a ton of bricks. unsaved, but I knew what she meant.
Uh-huh.
So I thought about that, pondered that in my heart all night and the next day, and I went back to the revival the next night and gave my heart to the Lord that night in the revival.
Oh, well, good. Wonderful. Well, then, why did you go to college and everything?
Well, that's also interesting. Now I was going to church. I was saved, and the pastor asked me to give my testimony. And when I was young, speaking in public used to scare me to death.
Uh-huh.
And then when I joined the Army and went up in rank and had to give training classes myself, I got used to it. But I didn't really like it. But I could do it. And now I was asked to stand in front of a church and give my testimony. And I got up there and I spoke for an hour.
Oh.
And I loved it.
Uh-huh.
And at that point in my heart, I knew this is where I needed to be. In the church, in front of people, either teaching or preaching or something.
Uh-huh.
So I talked it over with the pastor, and they sent me to Bible college.
Oh, that's nice. So they paid for it?
They paid for the first semester.
Okay.
And then, of course, the Army GI Bill and everything else kicked in, and I wound up paying for the rest of it.
Well, good. So then, what year would that have been about when you got out of school?
Well, I actually started part-time in 93, full-time in 94, and finished in 98.
Oh. So, this is very recent, because I'm you know, my 80s, so it seems real recently. But to you, maybe it seems a long time.
You're not the first person to say that. I've heard people say, wow, the Lord used you quickly.
Yes. So now tell me about your favorite scripture verse.
Like I said, I have two. John 3:16, because it speaks of salvation.
Right.
And from there, and you read it today, Proverbs 22:6.
Uh-huh.
Train up a child in the way he should go. That's my favorite verse because that is what my ministry is.
Uh-huh.
Ever since I went into ministry, and I actually started youth pastoring while in Bible college in 94.
Uh-huh.
And I've been doing that sort of work ever since.
So
youth and young people are my heart. That's where the Lord keeps leading me, and that's what I keep doing.
And you're very interested in the Korean people, the young people.
Well, yes, my wife is Korean,
uh-huh.
And all my ministry has been in Korean churches and still is.
Uh-huh. So tell me something about the Korean young people, the burden you have and how you see them, etc.
Well, my burden on them speaks from my experience. In the Korean culture, alcohol is heavy.
I didn't know that.
Absolutely. In fact, South Korea is the country with the highest rate of alcoholism.
I didn't know that.
In the entire world.
Oh.
You would think it would be Russia or something uh-huh. like that, but it's not.
I've been to Korea.
I know.
Uh-huh. Not as long as you have, but
right.
So I can relate to this, but I didn't know that they were big drinkers there.
Big drinkers.
Hmm.
And the kids fall into it.
Oh.
Because it's part of their culture.
Uh-huh.
And I remember one young person in their 20s telling me that I shouldn't worry about the kids in high school because they're just blowing off steam and they outgrow it. But really they don't. So they wouldn't have that kind of alcoholism rate.
Right, right.
And being an alcoholic myself, and of course the Lord is with me now and I don't drink, but I have a heart for that.
Yes. So tell me about being a former alcoholic. Seeing I never drank and I was an alcoholic. What makes people drink to the extent of being alcoholic and drunk all the time?
That's a very interesting question. Quite frankly, I think people like to be drunk.
Oh.
They like the feeling.
Uh-huh.
And what happens is that the first time you get drunk, unfortunately, is the best one.
Oh.
And you never reach that again.
Huh,
but you chase it constantly.
Uh-huh.
You remember the first one and how it felt and what it did, and you think it's pleasurable, and you try to get that back, and you never do.
Well, what's pleasurable about it? What is it?
It's really hard to explain.
Oh, you don't have to if it's too hard.
Alcohol, you know, it runs through your bloodstream and gets into your brain, and you just feel much different.
Oh, okay. So I'm glad the Lord took you out of that. Was that hard to break the alcoholic high of it?
No. Absolutely not.
So,
in fact, I think the Lord was preparing me before I went to this revival that I talked to you about.
Uh-huh.
The month before, I mean, I was attending church because my wife wanted me to go, but that was it. And I was still driving a cab, and mm-hmm. I would finish work and stop at a bar on the way home.
Uh-huh.
And drink 3 or 4 beers and then drive the short distance for the rest of the way. And this one night I was sitting in this bar that I always went to, and all of a sudden everybody looked uninteresting.
Huh.
I used to like to sit and just watch people.
Uh-huh.
It was entertaining. It was interesting. This night it wasn't.
Huh.
And the beer didn't taste right. It tasted flat. And I made the bartender get me another one. And it tasted flat, but everybody else was drinking the same beer, and there was no problem with it.
Huh.
So I just sat there for a minute. Didn't like the taste of the beer. The people didn't interest me. The whole place didn't interest me. And I got up and walked out.
Hmm.
And I had never drank since.
Praise God. Now, tell us a little bit about John 3:16. You have maybe a minute.
Oh, sure. Well, obviously, we know John 3:16. It's the salvation scripture.
Right.
And that's why I love it. It's simple.
Yes.
In fact, I preach off it so often that my wife gets tired of it. She goes, "You preach John 3:16 again?" I said, "You bet I am."
Yes.
It's my favorite, except for the other one we did previously.
To train up a child.
Right.
So, for God so loved the world.
That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. And for so many years, I didn't believe.
You knew, but you didn't believe.
That's exactly it.
Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but
have everlasting life.
Yes.
I have a friend my age, graduated same year I did from my high school, lives in Florida. He calls himself a Blue Domer.
What's that mean?
I knew you'd say that, because that's what I said.
Uh-huh.
And he explained it to me. He says, he believes that all people who live under the blue dome, the sky, if they just try to do good, God will honor that.
Huh.
And they will go to heaven.
He's wrong, isn't he?
Absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
And that takes you right back to John 3:16.
Yeah. Good. That whosoever believeth in him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alan, I'm really glad we got to talk with you these two programs. We got to know you better, and my people out there listening got to know you, and I'm glad the Lord redeemed you and that he's using
Amen.
You. I'm glad you're working here for the Bible for today, too. You're a good asset to our work.
Well, thank you.
Gertrude Samrin has written, "No turning back, though path ahead seems steeper. No turning back, though hard to tread the way. No turning back, for his dear voice is calling. No turning back, for brighter grows the day. No turning back, I must not halt or waver. No turning back, for he has planned my way. No turning back to past and distant shadows. No turning back, ahead lies glorious day. No turning back, for faith has no deterrent. No turning back to falter in defeat. No turning back, for when my race is over, my Lord will know that I did not retreat." And praise God, Alan, you are not turning back. You've set your face like a flint. And praise God for John 3:16 and for a mother who raised you in the way of the Lord. Praise God for your mother, Barbara, who's with the Lord now. I'm under God's care. Are you?
You have been listening to Just for Women with Yvonne Waite, sponsored by the Bible for Today Baptist Church in Collingswood, New Jersey. We invite you to visit our church Sundays at 10 a.m. and Thursdays at 8 p.m. If you need more information about our church, our broadcast, or our Savior, please call us toll-free 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Email bft@bibleforttoday.org. The organist and pianist is Mr. Dick Carroll. Your announcer has been Dr. D.A. Waite, pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church. We invite all you ladies to join us next week, same time, same station, to hear Yvonne Waite and Just for Women.
May the Lord strengthen you for all he's preparing for you this next week. Remember, the unknown is not unknown to him.